Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravajikacharya Sotadasa Shishiman Divine Grace Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskan Bibidi Founder Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gopamanandi Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 23. Esha Prapana Vadado Ramayatma Saktya Yad Yat Karishyati Grihita Gunavataraha Tasmin Swa Vikramam Idam Srijato Api Cheto Yunjita Karma Samalam Cha Yata Vijayam Esha Prapana Vadado Ramayatma Sakya. Esha prapana varado ramayatma saktya. Yad yat karishyati grihita gunavataraha. Yad yat karishyati grihita gunavataraha. Tasmin swavikramam idam srijato picheto. Tasmin swavikramam idam srijato picheto. Yunjita karma samalam chayata vijayam. Yunjita karma samalam chayata vijayam. Esha prapana varado ramayatma saktya. Yad yad karishyati grihita gunavataraha. Tasmin swavikramam idam srijato picheto. Yunjita karma samalam chayata vijayam. Any other men want to chant? Okay. Madhijis. Esha, this, Papana, one who is surrendered, Baradaha, benefactor, Ramaya, enjoying always with the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, Atmasatya, with his internal potency, Yat Yat, whatever, Kurishyati, he may act. Grihita, accepting. Guna Avataraha, incarnation of the mode of goodness. Tasmin, unto him. Swabhikramam, with omnipotency. Idam, this cosmic manifestation. Srijataha, creating. Api, in spite of. Chaitaha, heart. Yunjita, being engaged. Karma, work. Samalam, material affection. Cha, also. Yata, as much as. Vijayam, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through His internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. I pray only to engage in His service in the creation of the material world. And I pray that I may not be materially affected by any works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. That, of course, was Lord Brahma speaking. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the matter of material creation, maintenance, and destruction, there are three incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. But the Lord's incarnation as Vishnu, in His internal potency, is the supreme energy for the total activities. Brahma, who is only an assistant in the modes of creation, wanted to remain in his actual position as an instrument of the Lord, instead of becoming puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator. That is the way of becoming dear to the Supreme Lord and receiving His benediction. Foolish men want to take credit for all creations made by them, but intelligent persons know very well that not a blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord. Thus, all the credit for wonderful creations must go to Him. By spiritual consciousness only, one can be free from the contamination of material affection and receive the benedictions offered by the Lord. Om Aginati Maranda Shaj Ananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Melitam Yena Tasma Shri Gudave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So, Lord Brahma is continuing his prayers here. Prayers, the chapter title is Prayers, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. And so he's continuing his process of glorifying the Supreme Lord and simultaneously asking for benediction. He's asking for direction in general and encouragement from the Supreme Lord, and he's going to get that. You know, we're just a few verses away from that. And in this particular verse, he's glorifying the Supreme Lord as the benefactor of the surrendered souls. Varado, Esha Papana Varado, benefactor. He's the benefactor of the surrendered souls. And he's also making another point here, that his activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. So basically what Lord Brahma is saying in this verse in so many words is he's indicating to Krishna, Krishna, I understand that you like to give credit to your devotees. And in that sense, you're the benefactor of the surrendered souls. But I also understand that everything's being done by you. You know, we have that expression among devotees, Krishna is the doer. This is, Lord Brahma is expressing that here, that his activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the goddess of fortune. So Lord Brahma is stating that here. He's expressing that, Krishna, I know that, you know, you like to give credit to your devotees, but at the same time, I know that actually everything is being done by you. And then he's going on to offer a prayer, and he's praying that he can be in the right consciousness. He's praying to Krishna or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu that he can have the proper motivation, because he understands he understands all about how the material energy works, and he knows, and he's expressing that in his prayer there, that if he's not in the proper consciousness, if he's in material consciousness, then he's going to become proud. He says that there, that I pray that I may not be materially affected by my works, for thus I will be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. But if you are materially affected by your works, then you won't be. Then you can't give up the false prestige of being the doer, the creator in his case, or the doer. You want to take credit. And, you know, there's that expression, pride comes before a fall. So Lord Brahma is well aware of that. He understands that, completely. So therefore he's praying to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, please, I just want to do this as a service. I understand my position. I understand the overall situation. I understand that, you know, this body that I have is a gift from you. My whole situation is actually a gift from you. You know, Lord Brahma, how could he create anything Krishna didn't supply the ingredients? You know, all the things that, the resources that Lord Brahma needed to do the creation, that's supplied by, Krishna, okay? And also his body is a gift from Krishna. Getting the body of Lord Brahma is like getting the body, or getting like a computer where all the, you know, brand new computer with the top of the line, latest model, and all the best software is already downloaded into it. He knows. He's not foolish. He understands, I got a really good body here. Krishna's given me the works, you know. I'm loaded. I'm fully loaded, as they say. You can use that expression with cars, fully loaded. He's fully loaded. He's got all the different talents and abilities and insights, and he's really a bright guy, you know, Lord Brahma. Top most intelligent person in the universe. So Krishna's gave him that body, and he's got all the resources at his fingertips. And then Krishna has told him what he wants him to do. So, you know, he's very confident, I'm going to be able to do a good job here because Krishna's given me the intelligence to do it, and he's given me all the materials to do it with. So, yeah. But at the same time, he's cautious. He's thinking, well, but I don't want to forget Krishna in this whole process. You know, I want to give credit where credit's due, because I know if I do this in material consciousness and thinking that, you know, I'm... it's my credit. I deserve the credit for creating this, being the chief engineer of this universe. Then that's going to be my downfall. And he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct thinking like that. It's just like, just to give an example, imagine there was somebody who was, there was a movie that, the movies get Academy Awards, is that how it works? There's like, you know, I know there's Grammys. Okay, so there's a movie that is nominated for an Academy Award and they have like a big, get you know, gathering and that movie gets the Academy Award. And the man who is the chief sound and visual engineer, he's there that evening. So all the people are, you know, from the different, in that kind of industry are there and they're kind of meeting each other and talking. And then somebody goes, oh, you know, so you, it recognizes him. Oh, aren't you the chief engineer for that, the sound and the visuals for this movie? Yeah. He said, so, and, you know, he said, wow, that's really great. He says, yeah, I really did a great job. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for me, this movie would have fallen flat on its face. It never would have made it. And the person's a little bit, well, sounds a little proud, you know, the person he's talking to. And the person says, well, wait a second, didn't it have a really good director? Like, you know, Cecil B. DeMille was the director, or, you know, Howard Hughes, and the big names, you know, was the producer, the one who supplies the money. And he goes, yeah, but I was the brains behind the whole thing. You know? So the person he's talking to would think, oh, okay, you know, but he think this guy's a bit proud, you know, whereas the correct mentality for that person, or the humble, or the servant mentality would be, yeah, you know, I did the visuals and I did the audio, but, you know, the fact of the matter is we had so-and-so was the director and he was really, he's a brilliant guy. He's, you know, been a fabulous director for so many movies and, you know, the whole thing was bankrolled by so-and-so who's, we had no, we, you know, unlimited resources. We were able to, we had a you know, a carte blanche budget. We could spend as much as we want to put this movie together. So, you know, I mean, I guess I get a little credit in the whole thing, but there was a lot of other people involved. That would be the proper attitude. See, so that's Lord Brahma. He deserves some credit. You know, he's doing something, but he's, at the same time, he's aware that it's really, to make the whole thing really happen, it was Krishna's mercy. You know, he's just kind of like in the, how would you say it? He's a member of the team, so to speak. And Krishna's given him some service to do. And Krishna likes, he's Krishna's devotee. He says, Esha, he's, what has he put it? Okay, anyway. But yeah, he's a surrendered soul. And in the verse before that, he goes, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. So, you know, he's a soul surrendered to Krishna. And so Krishna wants to, you know, see him glorified too. But he's intelligent enough to realize where ultimately the credit lies. You know, I mean, if you just even break it down according to the Vedic picture of reality, there's Lord Brahma. Above Lord Brahma is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Above Garbhadakshay Vishnu is one of the, what do they call them? The Purusha avatars. So the Purusha avatars are an expansion of... I think it's Mahasankarshan of the second quadruple expansion, and they're an expansion of Narayan, and then Narayan is an expansion of Sankarshan from the first quadruple expansion, and then that is an expansion from Balaram, and Balaram's an expansion from Krishna. So, you know, it's not like it's all on him. There's a lot of energy coming down. Before it reaches his level, he's there, but you know he's not the all in all, and he realizes that. So he's praying to, as I said, he's praying to Garbhadakshay Vishnu that he could just that he could do it as a service. Notice he's conscious, he's intelligent, he's humble, he's honest, and he's just praying. Okay, I get it. I get it, Krishna. I know. I understand my position. You know, I'm a soul surrendered unto you. I'm a servant, you know, you're giving me a chance to do this service, and it's going to work out because you're giving me all the intelligence to do it with, and you're giving me all the resources to do it with, and but I don't want to become puffed up. Please protect me from that. You know, he's praying, please don't allow me to become puffed up by false prestige, you know, thinking I'm the creator, because really... Here's another analogy, okay? So, like, my service is distributing books. So, say one day, or one for the Prabhupada Marathon, say I go out and I have a good marathon. I distribute a lot of books. And when they, you know, they call off the names and everything, and Svavasya to the devotees, okay, can you say something? Please say a few words, you know? And if I were to just say, well, yeah, I really worked hard and I did great. No, I'd have to give immediately, if I was in good consciousness, like Brahma's praying to be in, I'd have to immediately acknowledge, well, you know, this was made possible by the fact that, first of all, Prabhupada, gave us these books. He translated the Sanskrit into English and explained it. And then he had all his disciples, labor very hard to produce the books. And they had help from a congregation who supplied the money, the Lakshmi, to produce the books. And then, we have our temple community who support the efforts of the book distributors by making monetary contributions. And there's so many different things there. There's so many different things involved in a book distributor being out in the field, so to speak, and having the opportunity to distribute a lot of books. And you have to acknowledge all that. So, I was just, you just, as you said, an instrument. You're one little like cog in the machine, so to speak. So that's the proper way to be thinking. And Lord Brahma is praying to be able to think like that. And of course, we should ourselves be thinking like that. But sometimes there's a tendency. And the reason he's very conscious of this is because Prabhupada says elsewhere, he refers to the opposite mentality as our material disease, the disease of not having false prestige or not being understanding to give credit where credit is due. Anyway, I'm going to read something. It might sound like this is unrelated, but it is related. And I'll just read something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada makes this point. This is, I forgot to make a, it's, I know actually it's Adi Lila, chapter 8, text 20-something. But the translation goes, when one's transcendental loving service to the Lord is actually awakened, it generates transformations in the body, such as perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering of the voice, and tears in the eyes. Now, I know that sounds totally unrelated to what we're talking about, but hang in there. Purport. These bodily transformations are automatically manifested when one is actually situated in love of Godhead. One should not artificially imitate them. Here it comes. Our disease is desire for that which is material. Even while advancing in spiritual life, we want material acclaim. One must be freed from this disease. Pure devotion must be anyabhilasita sunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukul yena krishnanusilanam, bhaktir uchate. So Prabhupada says there, that's a very deep insight here, that our disease is our desire for that which is material. Even while advancing in spiritual life, we want material acclaim. And we have to become freed from that. So that's what, Brahma's praying, to become free from that disease of wanting material acclaim. So, like Brahma, he's being introspective here. And he's, trying to examine his own motivation. And, of course, as a lesson, we should do the same thing. We have to ask ourselves, okay, am I in this Krishna? What's my relationship to the Krishna consciousness movement? Am I in this movement to benefit the movement? Because that's the correct mentality. That would be a service mentality. I'm here to benefit because I really appreciate Srila Prabhupada, what he's done, what he's given us, and I want to contribute to this movement. I want to do something to benefit this movement. That's a service mentality, okay? The opposite mentality of that would be, I want to benefit by being in this movement. See, it's better than nothing, but because any contact with the Krishna conscious movement is auspicious and purifying and beneficial, but we should be trying to cultivate and have that mentality of I'm here to benefit the movement, not to be benefited by the movement. You see? Now, if you take it to an extreme, if somebody's just completely thinking I'm here to just get what I can out of this movement, that's demoniac. that's not a good mentality at all. Generally, someplace in between. We fall someplace in between those two mentalities. I want to benefit this movement on one extreme, and the other is I want to be benefited by this movement. And so what can I get out of this? Okay? And that's called mixed devotional service. You see? And that's what that verse Prabhupada was quoting from Anyabhilasita Sunyam. It's a Rupa Goswami's verse. And it's pointing out that don't be mixed. You know, that's basically what Rupa Goswami is saying in that verse. Anyabhilasita Sunyam. Sunya means zero. You get all these anyabhilasitas, get all these material contaminations, zero. Jnana karmati, jnana, the desire for speculative knowledge, karma, results of fruitive activities, etc. That's, and then when you do that, then that becomes favorable devotional service to get rid of all that mixed motivation. So, so we have to, we have to work on that. And also, this is, Lord Chaitanya prayed like that. Lord Chaitanya was praying, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare, Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoy Tikitwaye, that he says, I have no desire, Nadanam, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, Najanam, I have no desire for like popularity, Nasundarim, beautiful, qualified wife, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, how's it going? Kavitam ba jagadisha kamaya, O Lord of the universe. Mama janmani janmanishvare. I just want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. And when he says causeless devotional service, what does that mean? What does he mean by that? I know Papa never really gave a purport on that particular. But my understanding is it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean like, oh, devotional service has no material cause, means there's no material impediment. No. He's talking about motivations there. And he's saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I don't want to be motivated. I don't want to be women. I don't want wealth. I don't want following, I don't want any, basically when he's saying causeless devotional service, what he's saying is I don't want to be engaged in devotional service for some material cause. That's what I think it means when he says causeless devotional service. I don't want a devotion. I don't want to be motivated by some material cause in my devotional service. I want to be just doing it to please you. That's my understanding. So Lord Chaitanya is praying like that too. So, okay, what should be our response to hearing this message? Because it's like, okay, you hear it. Oh, because we're asking ourselves, well, okay, this is like a heavy subject. Am I properly motivated? And you might come to the conclusion that, well, maybe I'm not. And maybe there's a lot of other people in this movement that aren't. So then what? Well, my suggestion is that stay calm. Stay calm. It's not definitely the proper response is not to go on a witch hunt and be thinking like, looking around at everybody and thinking like, is this Prabhu or is this Mataji properly motivated? They've mixed, if you come to the conclusion, so I'm not properly motivated, it's not a good idea. Self-flagellation is not the recommended process to become free from mixed, material motivation. Best thing is, think about it, in a cool-headed, philosophical way. One insight or thought that came to my mind when I was preparing the class is that it doesn't really do us a lot of good. Say you get that material acclaim, so that's it's a material pleasure. It's not a spiritual pleasure. Okay, you get it within the Krishna consciousness movement, but it's still a material pleasure. It's a subtle sense gratification. And subtle sense gratification, like gross sense gratification, is not going to help us at the time of death. At the time of death, we have to fix our mind on Krishna. And, say you're ambitious to occupy a high position or something like that because you want a claim. Well, if in the process of being ambitious, you're becoming more and more absorbed in thought of Krishna, that's okay. That's kind of a good way to dovetail it. And Prabhupada actually kind of confirmed that. Prabhupada, here in Cheviot Hills Park on a morning walk, talking with Ridhananda Maharaj, Tamal Krishna, I don't know if Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, Ramaswar was there. Some of the senior devotees were there. and they were discussing about the competition between the Chicago temple, the Los Angeles temple, Radha Damodar, and then Rida Nalimaraj threw in about, well, actually, in South America, this one temple did this much, and they were beat by Mexico City, and, you know, they were practically doing on par with Radha Damodar. And Prabhupada said, according to Rida Nalimaraj, Prabhupada said, I like this competition. You see, so he was in favor of it. I couldn't find that. When I looked that up on the Veda base, I couldn't find that. But what I did find, Prabhupada said, is competition must go on. So Prabhupada, you know, was in favor. He approved of competition. He liked, in other words, you know, you're competing to be the best. But if you're competing to be the best servant of Krishna, that's not, and you kind of keep your balance, you're able to kind of keep your perspectives correct, then that's okay. It could be, Narada Muni says in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, oh good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? So this competitive mentality doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. If it's engaged properly in devotional service, it could be a good thing. And Prabhupada kind of confirmed that. This competition must go on. And on another occasion, I think a lecture he gave in Bombay, he said, everybody should be ambitious to be a great devotee of the Lord. That was... So, you know, same point again. Ambition, generally, when we think of ambition, we think that's not good for spiritual life. But if your ambition is to be a great, you know, devotee, great servant, then that's okay. That's a way it could be dovetailed. Oh, yeah, but getting back to that other point. But, you have to be able to, that's why a devotee has to be introspective and thoughtful. And you have to see, am I doing this? What's my motivation here? Because if it's just like to be a big shot, so to speak, then it's a waste of time. As I said, at the time of death, we have to fix our mind upon Krishna. And somebody might say, well, you know, wait a second. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Mama Janmani Janmanishvara. He doesn't care whether he's not praying for liberation. He's okay with coming back here again and again. But that doesn't mean that as a devotee, we're not going to try to fix our mind upon Krishna at the time of death. You definitely are supposed to, all of us, try to fix our mind upon Krishna at the time of death, but we won't be attached to the result. In other words, if Krishna wants us, you know, if he take us back home, back to Godhead, wonderful. And if Krishna wants for us to come back here and take birth again to continue our devotional service here, wonderful. But meantime, we're trying to fix our mind upon Krishna. Being not attached or not being attached doesn't mean you don't care or you don't try. Just like if I go out on book distribution and if I'm thinking, I'm not attached, whatever happened, you know, no, I don't care. No, I'm attached. And well, I care. I'm trying to go out there and get the best result I possibly can. But whatever the result, that's okay. That's Krishna's mercy. So in the same way, when we're coming to the end of life, each one of us should be thinking, have a program. We have to have a program for how am I going to fix my mind upon Krishna at the time of death. Just like when I go out on Sankirtan, I'm not thinking like, okay, Krishna, whatever, you know, you do it. No, I've got lines, you know, I've got like, you know, sales pitches. I got, you know, different techniques I'm going to use. And I'm going to see, so I'm practicing. For years and years and years, I'm practicing. How am I going to get this person to take a book? But ultimately, I know it's up to Krishna. You know, and I'm not. I just try my best, you know, to get everybody to take the book and give a donation. But whatever the result, okay, that's up to you know. It's ultimately up to Krishna. So in the same way, we have to have a program. You got to be thinking, what's my just like I'm you know I have my program for how I'm going to get this person to try to take a book. It may work, it may not. But so in the same way, we have to be cultivating, developing a program for how we're going to fix our mind upon Krishna at the time of death. You know, it's not just, you know, whatever. You got to just, if I just go out on the parking lot and just think, well, whatever words come out of my mouth, no, it won't work. You know, books won't go out. You know, it's a science. There's a technique to it. So in the same way, we have to be prepared to, you know, considering that. At least some of you are kind of young. We never know when that'll come. You know, but we have to be thinking about what's my program for being able to fix my mind upon Krishna at time of death. That's what's important. And not worrying about material acclaim like that. So let's see. I think I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? First questions. Yeah. Yeah, benefit. We want to be benefited spiritually, but we shouldn't be ideally coming to the movement for material benefit. You know. Yeah. That's good. I don't know if you know if you call it, that's the way to do it, because it's a cultivation. It's not black and white. You know, like that expression, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, we're in a certain place. We're someplace in between, pure devotional service and, you know, the opposite. So we have to try to do the things, accept what's favorable towards moving towards that unmotivated, you know, pure devotional service. If you know you feel like if you're competitive, okay, compete to be the best book distributor, or compete to be the best pujari, or compete to be the best whatever, cook or something. If you're a grihastha and you're out there just trying to earn a living, well, you know, do things in such a way that you're kind of gradually, you know, gravitating towards and moving towards a position of, you know, making more and more sacrifice, more, doing more and more things to try to engage in devotional service, you know. Invite Vaishnavas to your home, serve prasadam, you know, giving charity to the brahmacharis, you know, whatever. There's different duties for that, and they're all, you know, described in Prabhupada's book. So work at, you know, doing, increasing the devotional activities, and then gradually things will kind of come into the right position. Does that kind of answer your question? Yep. Anybody else? Yeah, Prabhu? David? It depends, you know, a lot of Mayavadis in the world, but it depends on that particular person's attitude. If they're willing to hear what you have to say, then you could try to explain the philosophy to them a bit. And of course, prasadam, chanting, just the obvious, just see how you can engage them. You know, I mean, probably you could start off with prasadam. If somebody's not willing to chant or even take prasadam, then there's probably not much point in trying to explain the philosophy to them. And so I would start with those two things, right? See if they're willing to chant. If they're willing to chant and they're willing to take prasadam, that's good. That's really good. That means they're not too far gone. There's still hope. And then you give them one of Prabhupada's books and, maybe walk them through it. You know, just you can read with the person and say, hey, what's your understanding of that? And then discuss it a little bit, just, you know, step by step. But the first two things would be see if the person is willing to take prasadam and willing to chant. If they are, that's a good sign. There's, as I said, there's hope for that person. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Prabhupada used to say that devotional service, there's nine processes of devotional service. And the first one, Prabhupada said in different purports in the Bhagavatam, the first and most important is shravanam, hearing. So, you know, if you're out there and you got to work and, as you said, pay bills and pay rent, you could, and so there's not like, you don't have opportunity to say, come out and distribute books or, you know, be around and do service around the temple all day. But that's okay. You can hear. There's a lot of disadvantages to the modern technological society, but one of the advantages is all sorts of ways you could hear devotional philosophy. Like, for instance, if you go on Google and you just go to YouTube and you type in Prabhupada's, you know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami best lectures, you'll get Vex Prabhupada's lectures, and you can just listen to them one after the other. They just, once you hit one of them, the next one that'll pop up is another Prabhupada lecture and another Prabhupada lecture. And there's another, there's a website called Prabhupadvani, .org or something, .com. It has all Prabhupada's lectures on it. And there's so many, you don't have to just listen to Prabhupada. There's, you know, there's websites you can go to, and you can get lectures from other disciples or followers of Prabhupada who inspire you, and listen. Because hearing, Prabhupada also said, hearing is the basic principle of understanding. So the idea is that if you just really absorb yourself in hearing the philosophy, hearing Prabhupada or you know somebody that inspires you, then you'll get more, you become gradually become more convinced, more enthusiastic, and then it'll just be kind of like a, how would you say it, an organic, you know, it's not like it's a big, heavy decision. You'll just feel yourself gravitating towards more involvement in devotional service. You know, you'll want to maybe move closer to the temple or figure out ways that you could be, you know, here more often, et cetera, like that. But that'll happen automatically. That'll happen as with that, as like almost like a, you know, no separate endeavor. You just, if you just engage in the hearing, then other things will automatically follow without any, that's the idea. If you try to really absorb yourself in hearing, then other favorable things will kind of start unfolding without any separate endeavor. So that would be my recommendation. Just try to really get into, have a, you know, develop a program for hearing from Prabhupada or somebody who that, a follower of Prabhupada that you're inspired by. Okay. Anybody else? Anything? Okay. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Tomorrow.